Today on the program, it's one of the most bizarre choices to call a Christmas film I've seen in some time. It's Pottersville. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sasquatch.
Chris Cabin.
And I'm Eric Sasquatch, Steve's brother.
And we hate Pottersville. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in. As always, get in that Christmas spirit. Oh, fuck with Pottersville.
Eric, did I steal your joke? Were you going to do Sasquatch?
No, I didn't. Okay, I admired it so much that I just jumped, just did it again.
Because you are, in parlance around here, called the Sasquatch a bit.
That's right.
What happened? Somebody called you, looked at your last name once, and it was like, oh, that Sasquatch guy is coming. I forget the story.
I think that was like college lore, maybe.
It wasn't like a customer service thing or something.
Oh, yes, maybe.
It was like, Eric Sasquatch?
Yeah. I think it was someone I was working with that was in a different city that would just call me on the phone and be like, oh, that, hey, Sasquatch.
Oh, that's right. It was when you were working for CMT, I think.
I think so, yes. Okay, so that would, let's go back in time. That would date it around 2007.
Uh-huh.
2007.
Well, a 10-year-old nickname. That's kind of crazy.
And, well, anybody with a Polish name has to be part Sasquatch.
That's true. They're all Neanderthals.
It's in the folklore of...
Hairy Neanderthals.
So before we get to Pottersville, which is from this year, directed by Seth Henriksen.
Kind of an emergency episode, a little bit.
A little bit of an emergency episode. I saw this and was like, what the fuck? Let's get going! And
it's now on Netflix. It's also on Amazon. I mean, you should know that. Yeah. You should just know that.
You should just kind of know that.
Aren't you all just big Judy Greer heads or what?
I'm a huge Judy Greer head. But before we get to my Judy Greer fandom, a bit of business up front at the top of the program. Some changes. Is coming to the We Hate Movies Patreon. Steve, take it away.
Well, first of all, it's our anniversary episode. We do these but once a year.
Oh, fuck!
Like any anniversary, actually.
Is this our 8th anniversary or 7th?
We went on the air in 2010.
Christ.
2010.
That's eight. And to celebrate, we are changing up our very successful Patreon. It's very successful. It's huge.
It's tremendous.
It's the best. I say very successful because we're really appreciative of everyone that signed up this year and last. Amazing people. We're changing it up a little bit. All of the tiers exist, so I'm going to go through all the tiers as they exist. For $2, you get the Big Daddy Dispatch. That's a mail. That is a newsletter about what's going on in We Hate Movies. We'll get some like little reviews there, some funny stories. People like it. People love it.
it's a newsletter that's mailed through the internet.
And then for $3, you get the Perennial Animation Damnation, the first offshoot of We Hate Movies. For $8, you would get all of the tiers below it, plus what's called the Nexus, which is where we do one episode of Star Trek, the original series, and one episode of the Next Generation. Have some fun with it. A lot of fun impressions on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the commentaries in that same tier. And this month, I believe, Rambo Mintary.
Yeah. If it's not out, it'll be out this week.
Syncable commentaries. People love those things. And that's been what it is.
Those commentaries are for a year. Quadrennial.
And we're like, you know what? This is really cool. But in thinking it through, we were like, you know, people love this We Hate Movies thing, and then we don't give you more We Hate Movies on the Patreon. It's like, oh, man, I love your hamburgers, sir. Five Guys, I love your hamburgers. Oh, cool. Come on over. I'll give you a chicken sandwich. It's like, yeah, but it's a good chicken sandwich.
No, I'll tell you what. You got to come to the shack, and we'll make you a secret hot dog in the back.
One time, I went to a Red Robin burger establishment, got myself a chicken sandwich.
Sure.
It was pretty good.
And that's what I think we got.
You don't try the chicken. The $8 level is fantastic.
They're all amazing chicken sandwiches. But we're giving you a hamburger this time around. Yes. We are now introducing a $5 level, people. $5 for $5, what you're going to get is a bonus episode of We Hate Movies a month. You will no matter what, we will do what's going to be kind of you might also like. So basically, right. Yeah. The idea is it'll be somehow tied into one episode of the month. So like for, let's say, Snipesgiving, we probably would have released Passenger 57
right.
as you might also like. Mm-hmm. For this month, we would have found, I don't know, maybe a weird Michael Shannon movie that maybe that.
Or you know, we might have actually watched Christmas Vacation 2.
Yes. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Exactly. It'll either be thematically, it might be the actor, it might be a sequel. Like we could do one of those.
This
weird
is not like one of our shorter bonus shows.
No, it's a full episode.
It'll be it's going to be a full episode.
And big point of information here. These will be We Hate Movies. They will be canon. They will be prime episodes along with the episode number mm-hmm. that will never be released to the public.
Wow.
Yeah,
but so that's, but we are we also will be tossing out the 10-year rule.
Yes,
for these.
Oh yeah,
right? Yes. Anything for these, goes. You might also like anything goes.
So we're starting in January. So there's going to be an extra movie released in 2017 besides Pottersville. So because as you know, we do our worst of the year month in January,
right.
And there's going to be a special. We're not going to say it yet. A special episode on that Patreon feed, and we might even throw in the entire archive there because some people want to have it on the go there. But, you know, we're working on it.
No, yeah,
we're thinking about it. We're working on it.
That's a guarantee. We're going to do that. We just have to figure out how to do that logistically.
Yeah, whether it's like all of the catalog at once or maybe like an episode a day until it's fully uploaded because we don't want to maybe inundate your feeds. I don't really know how it's going to work yet. None of us do in this room. But the WHM archive, so years of full episodes, like 1 through 108 or whatever it is, right, whatever occurred before Boondock Saints 2.
And they will be clean, as in they will be ad-free, because there's never an ad on Patreon.
Right.
Nope. And so that and they'll be clean. I don't know what the content of the jokes are.
They're going to be terrible.
No.
Yeah, they're going to be terrible.
I warn you now, you should probably not listen.
Listen to it listen to it with your 2010 ears on.
Exactly. Know that we are people that are always trying to better ourselves and as we said, we've been on the air since 2010.
And so to go back to the tiers. So basically for the $2 level, you get the Big Daddy Dispatch. You love that. For the $3 level, you get Animation Damnation and the Big Daddy Dispatch. For the new $5 level, people, you'll get one new Prime episode a month. You will get the Animation Damnation, the Big Daddy Dispatch, and the archive when we figure that out, which will probably be in January. We're really shooting for that.
Yep.
The episode will drop in January, no matter what. And then for the $8 level, you're going to get the Nexus, the commentaries, the Prime episode, the Animation Damnation, the Big Daddy Dispatch, and the archive. So, like, as you go up, that's how Patreon works. Patreon is the best way to support this show. We have been bowled over by your guys' generosity,
mm-hmm.
continuously shocked and surprised and gracious for your gratitude.
And now here's the thing. Like, let's just the flipping elephant in the room. We would love to do this 5 days a week.
Sure.
Right now, we see Patreon as the best and strongest way to help us get there, which is why we're trying to expand it as much in our very busy schedule as we can, cram in more content. So, you know, hey guys, we understand the sitch with everybody's personal finances, baby. Yep. Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Just know that we are trying to put out more content for you in the effort that someday we can just do this and have that be the thing.
And honestly, like, any support is always great. You're still going to get your main episodes. You're still going to get on screens. You're still going to get mailbags. All that's going to be free for everybody forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we'll see forever. But for the incredible immediate future. No, forever. But, you know, this is the way. So we appreciate that. We appreciate your tweets. We appreciate any kind of fandom you give us. But the Patreon is really the thing that really kind of floats our boat these days.
So that's that. Now, Pottersville from 2017. Like I said, directed by Seth Henriksen. And also, did you catch this? Executive producer Michael Shannon?
That's and Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
Oh, I did. Oh, I missed that one. Like, what a passion project.
How did that happen?
The only reason this movie exists is Michael Shannon being like, you know, I'm a really nice guy. Like, everyone is terrified.
I could play Jimmy Stewart.
Yes, exactly. So he was like, if I got to pay for it myself, man, I'm going to fucking pay for it myself.
You know, the original draft of Take Shelter was essentially this movie.
Nobody knows what a big heart I have. He's fucking terrifying. I think I've told this story before. I saw him in person in a play one time, and it was a production of Our Town, and he was like the narrator. Mm-hmm. So motherfucker comes out to do these silence your cell phones things. He doesn't even have to open his mouth. He comes out, he fucking looks and walks like Michael Shannon. He opens a flip phone. Flip phone, by the way. This is like 2010.
Sure.
Flip phone.
I thought you were going to say 20 years ago.
He opens this thing, looks around the room silently, points at it, and just shakes his head, closes it violently, and goes backstage.
And you know what? His role in Shape of Water is not going to help this situation.
Oh, no, it's definitely not at all.
No way, dude.
Yeah, we can't spoil that movie, but man, is he a monster. But the funny thing
he's
is...
He's the real monster of that monster movie.
I've seen him in public, too. I saw him with his kid once. And he was being really sweet. Like I saw,
yeah,
him,
I'll
like,
break your fucking neck, Junior.
No, he had his kid on his shoulders, which made him 29 feet tall.
Of course,
because he's exactly 26 feet tall right
that
now.
That kid was having problem breathing with all the little oxygen up there.
But yeah,
what were you doing there? Like taking photos of his kid?
No, I was going,
was it a paparazzo.
I was taking the F train, and he's like, hey, blah, 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 and he looked very nice. And I was like, wow, that's so weird to see Michael Shannon, noted terrifying person, be really sweet and nice with his kid. And I think that's what this is. It's like, I'll fucking pay for it, man. Hey,
Ron Perlman, another guy that is genuinely terrified.
Oh, of course. Sure.
So maybe this is like the image rehab project.
I think his face is getting bigger by the minute. Ron, I don't know, Perlman? What's, yeah, it's, yep. it's we're going to the Zadar town, man. I need
a map. How am I going to get around this
face?
Well,
every 5 years, he goes to Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito sticks the hose in and pumps it up a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, I see.
It's part of a deal they've had for many years.
Now, I should say this. If you haven't seen Pottersville yet, one of the joys of watching this movie for me was not knowing a lick of what it was about.
Oh,
so
sure.
I would suggest, because obviously spoilers, pausing this episode, experiencing Pottersville for yourself,
yeah,
and then coming back here. We'll wait.
It's a blissful hour 22 minutes kind of a thing.
Pretty long hour 22 minutes.
Oh, Christ, do you feel every worthless second of this movie, man?
But seeing is believing.
Exactly. So we'll be here when you get back. All right, so you've seen Pottersville. This is a movie.
Pencils down.
Yeah, this is what was that, Kevin?
I mean, you say that you can't really know, but like, yeah, one of the first shots, you certainly know at least what the tone of this is going to be, because one of the first shots is like on the side of a road, and there's just a sign that says debt. Houses for rent.
Yeah,
for
well, this,
rent.
This town's going for a song, dude.
Main Street's dead.
All these shots of this, the snow mm-hmm. in the town.
Oh, the CGI yes. snow, you mean?
Yeah,
it's blissful.
It takes like 10 minutes
yes,
for
yes.
us just to drive into movie town.
There is so much like, let's run some time off the clock. You know what I mean? In this movie?
Oh, big time.
This idea runs out of gas almost immediately.
Because it's a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a fucking, well, contemporary SNL, so it's a 7-minute sketch.
Yes.
It should be 3.5 to 4.
Sure.
But man, we're roping this into 84 minutes.
So we open on Michael Shannon. He's just such a nice guy, yeah. As you know,
My name is Maynard.
Yeah.
And that is in no way weird or terrifying.
Exactly.
It so is.
My name is Maynard Geiger. I mean, H.R. Geiger. I mean, shit.
I mean, that's the most terrifying part about this is they posit it as this like family thing, but it's also like this indie black comedy horse shit.
Yes.
But also Michael Shannon. I mean, this was a tense movie for me to watch, man. And I just watched Good Time. This was tense to watch because like, he could snap at any fucking second.
Even in the beginning, there's this scene. So, like, he owns a general store, and this little girl comes in. She's like, oh, my dad's out of work. Can you help me? You know what, little girl? I'm just so nice. Whatever you want, I'll just write it down in my book. And I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to write it down, and he's going to get this little girl.
Yeah,
and
now dude.
You cut to the little girl being, like, 18 years old. And he's like, I've come to collect.
Time to pay the fiddler, whore.
He brings out the Necronomicon. Just got to make a mark here in my book.
I'm just going to need some of your blood for this book. Oh, it's also, before
right, wait,
that,
your,
though.
Your name's Jessica. How do you spell that in Sumerian evil?
Dead by John. Dead by John.
He's fucking shoveling the walk in front of this decades-old general store, right?
Sure.
And then he notices, this is fucking sad, like, the rest of the block that his store is on has not been shoveled because all the stores have gone out of business on Main Street. This movie's really saying something.
And, yeah, oh yeah.
And so, it goes to the houses too. Can I just say
yeah.
there is a poster for Crook
properties.
Yep.
Oh,
I'm saying something.
Yeah.
So he decides.
Plunder Industries is next door as well.
He's like, I got two choices. I could shovel the walk from all these out of business stores and really clean up the sidewalk. Or I could kill everyone in town. Ah, today I'll shovel the walk. Like, you can see him making these choices in his head.
Been there.
These streets are so serene in the morning like this. I wonder, what would it be like if blood flowed down them all day and all night?
And this is what happened. So he, like, called up Ron Pro. Like, I gotta reinvent myself, John. I need these, like, 1990... Ron.
Oh, I was like, am I missing something?
No, John Perlman handles Ron Perlman's money.
Yep.
Hi. Yeah, this is definitely John Perlman. No, I just sound like him.
I'm the man that lives inside Ron Perlman's face, John Perlman.
Pull the string.
It's a living.
Most of Hellboy was me, actually. Ron didn't have that much to do with it. He was just a body.
He's like, Ron, who do I get to show that I'm a nice guy? And the only person you can get is Judy Greer. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
She like, because the first line she has is like, Maynard, you're such a nice guy. And then he's like, yes, that's right, America.
See, America's sweetheart, Judy Greer, just said it, so it's got to be true.
I'm a nice guy.
I can, like, riff with Jonah Hill. I can do that thing.
Took 100 takes.
He kept hissing after each one.
I fucking love Judy Greer, man.
Of course, she's the best.
She is the total
best.
She's
a treasure.
Actually, this is how sweet Judy Greer is. Mm-hmm. She's in that fucking horrendous What Women Want movie, and she makes Mel Sugar Tits Gibson look like a fucking teddy bear in that movie.
Exactly.
That's how sweet she is. Remember, she's all, like, sad, and he's like, oh, I hear by her brainwaves that she's going to commit suicide.
Oh, that's right.
My God. Better that, help her out.
That fucking movie is probably a stay tuned.
Oh,
because
it definitely
it's like,
is.
It's like Mel Gibson being like, I'm Dr. Doolittle and women are animals. Yeah.
I'm going to say, in reality, that is like a Herzog movie.
Yes.
Mel Gibson can read women's minds. It's just screaming all the time.
If you look into the beast's eyes, he can understand what the woman wants.
Break you down like Bjork.
You should never watch this DVD.
I couldn't believe that Ledger shit, though, because it's like, you just know the whole town's taking advantage of him.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, you're just so nice. And he's like, yes, I know. And he's and then in comes another teddy bear, Ian McShane.
Another person you want your Christmas movie, man.
Welcome to fucking Pottersville.
Do they have like a bad guys poker night or something? Like, we're all gruff, weird dudes.
Dylan Baker, I apologize. You can't make the movie. I fought for you, man.
We just got through his season of The Americans. Dylan Baker?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
My God. Dylan Baker is a fucking treasure.
He's amazing.
He is an acting treasure.
But yeah, if you see the DVD, you're like, oh, cool. Like, Michael Shannon, Ron Perlman, Ian McShane, someone's got a gun, I bet. Like, you know, you can almost imagine that that's the movie.
It's like a Christmas time, like, Sam Raimi movie. What was that movie he did?
Christmas time, Sam Raimi.
Or not, like, Winter Time. Didn't Sam Raimi direct the movie with like Bill Paxton?
Oh, A Simple Plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that like wintry?
Yeah, it is wintry.
Yeah, that's the most depressing movie ever made.
It's very good. I remember it being very good.
Until fucking Pottersville rolled
around. Yeah, now.
Ian McShane is like a local like hunter who like sells steaks. And he's like,
just to people, not to stores.
He is walking around with steaks frozen in his coat pockets.
And drinking moonshine the entire time, by the way.
This guy's like doing fucking, he's like a part-time bye-bye man, kind of.
He is. I like that. Part-time bye-bye man.
Bart the bye-bye man. I like that. Yeah,
he's playing Bart, which is like, becomes like what, a Quint from Jaws type of thing?
Oh, God. Of course, dude. I think Spielberg's got a case here.
Frank Capra's got a case as well.
Yeah.
The Capra estate, most definitely.
They need money, definitely.
At this point, they do.
The Capras, they're going under these days. Not so many people watching It's Wonderful Life.
Are they even alive? Does he have any heirs left?
Frank Capra?
Yeah.
Of course.
What is it, Frank Capra the third?
Yeah, that's a guy, right? No, that's
really?
He's a director.
No, that's Hank Williams the third, I think.
No, there is definitely a Frank Capra the third.
Really?
Yeah, I believe he directs.
There's Napoleon the third.
Yes.
Dude, come on. A guy like Frank Capra, that dude fucked.
Yeah, watch his movie, all that wholesome shit.
It was all about
fucked.
Spewing out fucking offsprings. You're right.
So Ian McShane sells him some steaks, and he's like, you know what? I am in such a nice mood. Everything is so nice here. I'm going to surprise my wife.
And she'd kill me if I didn't bring home a couple of those venison steaks there, Ian McShane.
Well, no, yeah, he buys the elk.
Oh,
yeah.
Elk. Yes. Oh, pardon
That's
me.
That's a good cut, man. Oh,
also, Chris Cabin, life lesson. Never go home early.
That's a life lesson for all of us. You know what, dude? Everyone's got a secret life. Knock loudly. You know? just period. Everyone's got a secret life.
Pottersville more than likely has a bar, more than likely has a movie theater, mm-hmm. probably a used bookstore.
No. They're all out of business, dude. That's the point of this movie. They're all out of business.
You could shovel the rest of the street.
There's two businesses left in Pottersville, I'll tell you right now. It's Geiger's General Store.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the porn shop. That's the two things.
You don't think the liquor store even survived?
Well, Ian McShane's making his own hooch, man.
He's stopping off at the general store, making enough money to buy porn at the porn store and then hightailing it home. So yes, he goes home. He buys a nice bottle of wine. There is a liquor store, obviously.
There's got to be. Yeah, he comes in with like a $6 Beaujolais or some shit.
And he's like, oh. And there's actually, when he goes to the fridge, there's a lot of beer in that fridge. I was like, these people are living, man.
That's how he keeps the monster at bay.
Oh, I see.
He just gets drunk enough every night that he just passes out cold.
But it's like Saranac root beer.
Oh, that's right.
It's not beer. It's root beer.
It's root beer. Saranac. I like Saranac beers, but they make non-alcoholic root
beer.
They're
up by the Adirondacks, I think.
Yeah, man. Saranac Lake.
And this film was filmed, in the Utica area or something?
Yeah, Hamilton, New York.
Not exactly Adirondacks, but that is a nice New York brand to see.
It was very cool seeing Saranac in this movie. Also, a nice little bit of trivia right here. Hamilton, New York, where the film was made. The movie theater in Hamilton, New York is the only theater that played this theatrically.
Oh, that's
so you got that.
And what was it, Chris? It was like two showings a day.
Two showings a day. I think it might even been one.
Man, you know what? You just need to play a week for Oscar qualifiers.
No, that's true.
New York and L.A., baby.
Ian McShane, get in there, man.
He's having a little bit of a moment, right?
Ian McShane?
Yeah, he's got that Starz show.
American Gods. Yeah, it's great.
And
he was on Game of Thrones briefly. Yeah, a botched character that was better in the book. Yeah.
And bummer.
Yeah, it was a bummer, man.
Somebody just picked off his scab.
Some PA was like, ooh, sorry, Ian, we can't nominate you. You're on a Starz show. Sorry. We'd love to nominate you. You're great. It's just... Starz.
Look, and I don't have anything against Starz because, listen, Black Sails fan number one right here.
Yeah, you think the Emmy committee watches even an episode of Black Sails?
No, they go for your consideration.
You know, I think that Z. I was gonna say it was a backward S, and that's wrong. That Z is working against them, I think. Starz with a Z. It's with a Z,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
You look like an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, Starz. Sorry, Ian. Yeah, you should probably find something on like Showtime or.
Don't apologize to me. I'm gonna kill your whole fucking family.
I mean, to be fair to you, we didn't give anything to Cinemax either. A thing with Max in the title.
So he goes, and it's the classic thing where you go home early.
It's a movie thing.
Yeah, this is a thing that happens.
I thought you were saying that the end result is a classic thing.
I mean, this is the scene from Old School, almost beat for beat. I mean, you change the quote-unquote weird sex specific, but that's it. Like,
right.
That's all you got.
So what is the weird sex?
He goes upstairs, and his wife, played by Christina Hendricks and Ron Perlman, are engaging.
Ron Perlman and Christina Hendricks play his wife?
Yes,
that's pretty awesome.
They switch off.
Man, this is like that fucking Wachowski's show.
Sense8?
Oh, Sense8. Yeah.
Wait, what is that? People switch brains?
I don't really know.
They can connect to each other. So like. All of them can go and fight where one person is. Like
speaking of connecting to each other,
Yes, they. Ron Perlman and Christina Hendricks are having furry sex together, or furry canoodling.
Is that a technical term?
I don't know.
Ron Perlman swears that they don't fuck.
Yes.
Right. They just get in these suits and brush up against each other.
He's dry humping.
Yeah.
So he's dressed up as a wolf and she's dressed up as a bunny.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're
going to eat her. Eat her up.
Yeah.
He's going to eat her up.
Mm-hmm.
And Maynard comes in there, like, and he takes out his gun, and he's just, like, trembling. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I'm going to eat you, squirrel.
Well, he keeps calling him a squirrel, and then he's like, I'm a wolf, goddammit. And then, yeah. like...
There's no gun, by the way.
Yeah, no, there's no gun. No, yeah, there should be. I mean, that's what, oh, shit, he's going to snap. Michael Shannon's going to snap.
Again, at any second during this movie, man, he could lose it.
Like, I'm surprised he doesn't have a gun ready, and he's just like, now both of you, walk off that cliff. Go on.
It's going to snow tonight. It's going to cover your bodies.
Hey, Ron Perlman, I'm going to need you to fillet this gun barrel. Nice and easy.
Who, yeah. by the way, is the sheriff or whatever.
Yeah.
The top cop.
He is the top cop of the town.
Hey, Ron, let me pitch you this movie. You know that story in Home Alone about the old man murdering everybody? What if that was real? Pottersville.
That would be a great twist if that was real in Home Alone.
What's it? He puts the bodies inside the salt or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you know why Buzz made that story up? Because that fuck's always thinking about cured meat.
Woof. Speaking of woof.
He doesn't say wolf. He says woof. It's very bizarre.
Oh, really?
I'm a woof.
Yeah. No. Michael Shannon's like, what are you being a woof for? It's like this weird, like, maybe accent thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he calling him squirrel?
Yeah. That's the joke. And it's, man, that's not funny.
No.
He says it like 5 times, though, so it must be funny.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if at first you don't succeed, keep making this terrible joke until somebody laughs.
And that's the thing, Michael Shannon's not funny.
Not at all.
No. It's not. Like, they set him up with some jokes, and it's just not. Like, I can imagine him being in a funny movie and having, like, funny lines that are like...
As the straight man, though.
Yes.
He's funny in The Night Before. He has a good role in that.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Wasn't he in Groundhog Day?
What?
Michael Shannon?
Right? Michael Shannon. Yes, he is. You're right.
Yeah, fuck you.
He's at the dance at the end.
I haven't seen that movie in full in like 10 years.
The couple that wants the WrestleMania tickets.
Oh, wow.
He's the guy.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Holy shit. Was he 9?
Yeah, he was 9. He was like a fully grown adult. He just didn't look like Michael Shannon yet.
He was the man that wanted WrestleMania. No, David, that's my deal. You cannot interview anyone else in Groundhog's Day.
I swear to God, Chan, you name one other person's fucking filmography and you're dead.
You never want to sleep again?
That is my intellectual property. You cannot say he's the man. I'm the man.
Hey, David, Tobo will haunt your dreams, bud. Haunt your dreams real good, David.
Well, I like the idea now that we're flipping things around. Michael Shannon is the nice guy and Steven Tobolowsky's the hard ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going to kill your whole fucking family, David.
You got a family? You like them?
Hey, David, do my intro while you fillet this gun barrel, motherfucker.
Here's the man.
Come on.
No, this is great. Here's the man who threatened my family. Stephen Tobolowsky.
Detective.
Oh, fuck, dudes. Tobo and 7?
Well, he was the Glimmer Man, right? That's a stay tuned as well. Oh, he's like a serial killer in that. That's the only time I think he's ever played a serial killer.
Tobo?
Yeah.
Wasn't Tobo the bad guy in
Big Tough
Mississippi
Man?
Burning? Yes, he was.
he was a bad guy in Mississippi Burning.
He's the bad guy in Bird
he's
on a Wire.
He's the bad guy in Bird on a Wire.
Oh, yes. He's
played some heavies.
With Sugar Tits Mel Gibson.
He's the bad guy in... God damn, what was that movie we did 1,000 years ago?
Oh, fuck.
Wedlock and Deadlock.
Wedlock, Deadlock.
That's right. He's kind of a bad guy on Silicon Valley a little bit. Jack Barker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. By the way, we love Tobo.
We do.
So put the tweet down.
He freaks out, as you would, and, like, he thinks that they're having... Look, it's not cool. You know what I mean? Like,
just rub dancing or fucking.
Whatever it is. I mean, just be upfront about it, honestly. Exactly. Say, like, look, me and your best friend, we're going to get into costumes, and we're going to rub up against each other.
Sure. Right.
So now, in the guest room. Furries come up a few times.
Yes. Sure.
We've got nothing personally against furries.
Sure,
but
no.
According to this film, they're not actually having sex at all.
That is, there's a documentary that I've seen called Fursonas.
And do they fuck?
Of course you have.
Yes, I like documentaries.
He's just a
so
doc.
Do I.
That's a great excuse.
I love because it's always...
I guess you can't masturbate to The Cove.
I'm not masturbating.
Oh, there's so many fucking dead dolphins.
It's my favorite line by anyone in anything. So, but like, that's the thing. Some furries do have sex in the costume. Some do not.
You have to have a genitals flap.
Yeah, because then you're just like, you know, it's getting messy in there.
And is that dry clean only? Or
Definitely. Those things are expensive.
I was about to say, ask someone who works at Chuck E. Cheese, but no one ever washes those fucking costumes.
Do you think that was like maybe the first one?
What, the first furry was Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not sure, but like, I think you have to go somewhere like past dry clean, like a warehouse that does dry cleaning. Like, it's a specialty store.
Right, because you don't want to freak anyone out.
Do you have, I mean, because these two things are just like dumb animal costumes, but is there also like furry cosplay? Like, are there characters?
Yeah,
like,
there are characters. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you could fuck as like a Baloo?
Can I be a reptile?
Yes, you can
be a reptile.
Really?
Well, you could actually be reptile if you know that, but that's a different thing. That's Mortal Kombat.
I could spit acid.
People dress up. I would love. I mean, that might be my fetish: is dressing up like Mortal Kombat characters and doing stuff.
I thought you were gonna say Gallagher. Dressing up like Gallagher.
I'm gonna fuck your silly little brains out.
No,
Gallagher cosplay fucking.
I would argue even, and it's good we're talking about it like this, because I would argue even that, like, as we'll see, what happens after this is he becomes obsessed with being in a costume himself.
Yes.
I would say that much like Carol in Call Me By Your Name, this is a movie about a sexual awakening
that does not
go completely correct.
You hear that, the Academy?
You're totally right, dude. We're going to be hearing so much about Call Me By Your Name at the award season time. Fuck that, dude. Pottersville.
It's close, but they're very clearly a punchline. Like, yes, it's every time you're supposed to be slapping your knees.
Yeah. But how about this? Pottersville, a furry sexual awakening. Mm. You add that in.
Yeah, dude. We should do like a fan edit.
That would have to presuppose that there are fans of Pottersville.
Yes, exactly.
And also the negative connotation, that's only if you take the side of, you know, menacing drunk Ian McShane.
That's very true.
Almost
true.
Everybody else is very positive about it.
To be fair, Ian McShane is the only character in this film that draws a firearm on a furry.
Yep. We'll get to that. Yep. He storms off and... Ian McShane has also given him moonshine at some point. He's like, hey, man, you know, open your eyes and, like, fucking see the world.
Because he had said, Maynard said he hasn't gotten drunk since his wedding night. So this guy is a stuffed shirt and a half. So now he gets drunk as shit off this moonshine because his wife is a bunny rabbit.
By the way, he goes back to the general store to get drinking.
And of course.
I love the idea of, like, my life is in shambles. Let's go back to work and get drunk.
And here's where the producers were really smart, because Judy Greer is still there.
Well, because she agreed to close the store.
So Michael Shannon, drunk and angry and looking for somebody to talk to, busts in, and the producers hit the music immediately.
Because
you take that off.
Yep.
You're totally
this
right.
This is the scariest scene I've ever seen in my life.
So
yes,
true.
You're
so
totally
true.
Right. This is a movie where music matters so much.
I'm going to need you to work late tonight. Oh, yeah, I'm back.
I've pooped on my face. I've pooped on my face.
I'm back and I've been drinking. And I'm angry at the world.
Yeah, dude, if like Hans Zimmer scored this and it's like,
I'm back.
Why don't you have a drink too? Would you like a drink with me?
No. That door is locked for a reason.
Or you get some John Carver.
I'm going to kill this bottle of booze.
Oh, no, it's back to Hans Zimmer, and there's a whale.
So he comes back, and Judy Greer's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened to you. She leaves, and he's like, she wants animals, so I'll give her animals. It's like, wait till they get a load of me.
I'll be a whole fucking petting zoo for these people.
Mirror!
Pottersville needs an enema.
Lauren's music.
So he winds up, there's a bunch of hunting shit. He puts together a very bad costume, and there's an ape mask. So, like, And the
it's like hunting clothing, yes. And then he puts a gorilla mask on top.
There's two boxes in front of him, I feel, is the idea. One says hunting attire, and the other one says Halloween attire.
Because right, he was going to put on, he's like, I'm going to hunt the humans of Pottersville. He takes out the one box and puts it all on.
My favorite movie, Surviving the Game.
And he's like, I need to conceal my identity as I pick off the town. And then he gets the mask, but then he forgets what he's doing.
What with the drinking?
And then he just starts stumbling around the town.
Yeah, they bought this from fucking Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places. This mask is wretched. It's bad.
I would say the one in Trading Places is a little better.
It is.
It doesn't have a cut down the middle like this one does.
The problem with this movie is, like, so immediately he goes out and, like, he's a big hulking dude and he's kind of running around and people are like, oh my God, it's Bigfoot. And, like, no.
Yeah, why is that, like, the jump to? How about there's some asshole and, oh, it looks like the tallest person in town. Maynard, whatever.
Yep, done. Short movie. But, no, so everyone's like, oh, my God, it's Bigfoot. He wakes up in the storage room and everyone's gathered on the TV like, oh, my God, there was a Bigfoot sighting last night. And the news is picking it up for no reason.
For no reason, man.
Is there, like, there's no way there's a local Pottersville station.
No, it's probably, like, the Albany? County local news, you know? But it's, like, they have better shit to do around the holidays, like clothing drives and canned food stories.
A car broke down last night. Shit like that.
You want to stay off Route 5 because there is that stalled car.
Exactly.
That's what we got.
Well, we're going to run this story 20 more times.
No. Update on that car. That little car got where it was going, and it's going to have a great Christmas.
Honk, honk.
But so this town has, like, Sasquatch mania.
They
man.
Do. That's, they get it immediately, Sasquatch mania.
Which I feel it's kind of quick for a fever to envelop the town, such as it is.
Well, I mean, I understand the mania just because everybody, clearly there's two stores open. This place is fucking hell. This is, like, nothing lives here. So you have to glom on to something.
Welcome to hell. I'm Maynard.
So
the boatman of rivers.
Times are tight. I mean, this is like One Magic Christmas level.
Yes,
like,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
This movie could use some more child death.
Well,
though.
Now the title is a reference to It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, right. And as my wife posited last night as I made her watch this, she's like, hey, baby, want to watch Pottersville?
Mm-hmm.
This movie's kind of like if Jimmy Stewart in that movie was never born. Pottersville just thrived, now this is the town. Bankrupt and fucked.
Yes.
Like, that's where Mr. Potter would take the
town. Potter fucking ruined the town.
Exactly, dude. Take the money and run. Like,
the trickle-down didn't trickle down.
It did not trickle down.
That's shocking.
That's a weird thing.
Raped that town of everything it was worth.
There was a Bigfoot sighting. Maybe it was Harvey, my good friend.
Oh, boy. My friend Harvey's back. Now he looks like a Sasquatch.
I hope he has some money. I could use some money.
What's that, Harvey? Eat their blood?
Right away.
Yeah.
So everybody starts to realize. Well, this is what's weird. Is like, so now people are coming to the town.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to get a spying of this Sasquatch monster.
And
it's
the general,
like, a big hit.
The general store becomes like Sasquatch headquarters. These two guys, like, start selling T-shirts.
Yeah, one is that dude that you've seen in, like, four different car commercials. He's been on, like, several different TV shows. He's probably not gotten Saturday Night Live 10 times. Whatever this dude is, and then, like, an Indian gentleman.
Yes.
And are these, like, local proprietors.
And all the townsfolk who don't have a fucking nickel to spend are just eating up all this fucking, these hats, these fucking baseball tees.
Dude, that's the thing. You give idiots shit to buy, they'll do it.
I'm curious, why is the town almost entirely geriatric? Because it's...
Have you been upstate?
Yeah, honestly, Eric's got a point.
Okay, fair enough.
Eventually, that part of the state's just going to die off.
People move.
Oh, or maybe it's like the town from the Freddy, the New Nightmare.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Where all the kids have to die.
That's funny that you say that, actually, because I noticed there's a montage of, like, him continuing to be Sasquatch to drum up the story and whatever.
An inept montage.
Yes. Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Everything about this movie is inept.
Sure.
Goes without saying. So there's a part where he runs by a house, like he runs by the window or something, and the family rushes to the window. There's definitely, like, the little boy is wearing a Freddy sweater.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, there's something to your theory, Chris.
Might be. Might just be.
Do you think, like, Kruger should have came out at the ending.
Mm,
this was all bullshit.
Burst out of Michael Shannon's chest.
I mean, that. How have they not done that yet? A Freddy Krueger around good Christmas times.
That's a great one.
Eric and I have been begging for Friday the 13th at Winter for fucking 10 years.
Yeah. But I'll fucking settle for a Kringle Krueger.
Yes.
Happy holidays. Thanks for nothing, PC culture.
Oh, no. No one believes in me anymore, and nobody believes in Christmas. There's not enough Christmas magic to get these presents out.
Oh, no. Everybody wants to die anyway.
Dude, you guys got it. Okay, so Santa can't deliver the presents unless everyone's asleep, and Freddy's gonna help.
Oh, I like it. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, he can be like the Krampus or something.
I'm teaming up with Kris Kringle. Happy holidays, bitch.
Because you know that would have to be the screenplay.
Of course, absolutely.
Contractual obligation.
Man, get England out of retirement. That's a movie. Done.
Oh, of course it is.
Sign, seal, deliver. Get George Went to Santa Claus. We're good to go.
And it's just called Kringle Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
Get me a couple of like dead reindeer puppets.
Yep.
Oh yeah. His reindeer are definitely undead.
Yeah. Come on. Let's just do it.
You might be able to get Tim Burton to do it. It's like, well, let's set around Christmas, huh?
I do like a freaky Christmas.
Okay. You know what, Tim? I really didn't want to, but we will cast Johnny Depp.
Oh, no. No.
I'm playing a 18-year-old boy again.
Throw up. But this gets attention of... And I mean, here's the thing. This movie, it's Michael Shannon's movie at this point. It's entirely
Michael Shannon. It's supposed to be.
And then all of a sudden, Tom Lennon shows up. And like the entire narrative drops. And it's the Tom Lennon show for like 40 minutes until like the last 15. It's nuts.
We were talking about this in my house last night. Like... Tom Lennon is one of those like secret comedy billionaires
because
he's written so many successful franchises.
Night at the Museum
shit, right? Yeah. So like, I guess he can just like go out back and play in the mud with movies like these.
Sure.
But it's like, fucking why, dude?
Why get out of bed?
I know. He's doing this heinous Australian New Zealand accent. It's fucking brutal.
Yes, it's very brutal.
It's brutal.
But... The fact that his character is actually not Australian helps.
Yes.
Helps.
I saw that a mile away, too.
Yeah.
Did you really? Old gag of like, oh, and then like, it's a fake thing because I'm a fake guy.
It is. I mean, once it happens, I was like, oh, that thing. Yeah. But in the moment.
Oh, you didn't shit your pants on your couch? What the fuck?
I mean, I did, but that had nothing to do with this movie.
The couch was full of shit that night.
It's just a lazy night.
The idea of like, even the mildest surprise is in a movie like Fathersville is met with extreme surprise by you.
Steven Seagal was wearing a vest.
No fucking way.
I am easily entertained, man. I also have to watch every movie on my couch wearing a garbage bag around my waist.
Spraying chunks.
Yes.
Filthy.
Yes.
No, I just mean like because this movie is so fucking terrible.
Yes.
No, yeah. That I was like, oh, of course he's doing the shitty accent because nobody cared.
But also, post Reno 911, guess what I always turn off? The Tom Lennon show.
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
There was a Tom Lennon show?
No, just Tom Lennon vamping.
Taking the fucking wheel here.
I would say he's been very funny in Reno 911.
He's
very funny.
He's great in Reno 911. But like since then, like these little bits, I can't think of another time, but like, every time I remember just being like, I'm done with this.
Is that Odd Couple still on the air?
Yes, I think it is.
It was him and Matthew Perry.
Yes.
I think that's off the air.
Man, Matthew Perry, dude. Whew, that guy's fallen down a staircase his whole life.
Oh, my God.
What do I mean? Like, you know.
Wait, no, I don't know what
you
mean.
You know what I mean. Come on. Because he
fell down the money stairs of Friends.
Yes, but then he's never been able to get back up again.
No.
Which is like
every
he had
shot
that
he
show
got.
Go On.
Go On was terrible.
Was Go On the one with where
he's like
he
a group counselor?
What's his Brett Gelman was on it.
Yes, yes, Brett Gelman was on it.
And I kind of was that the one I'm thinking of?
Yep, that's the one.
I guess I wasn't. There was a show that he had
called Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, right, he was like a sports guy.
That show was actually kind of funny because it was like, it was him, it was Allison Janney. Like, there were people on it. He like managed a professional sports team or something, or like was in the back office for a sports team. It was mildly funny and only, of course, got one season.
Well, and he was in the notoriously awful Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, of course.
Woof. Oh, right. you didn't like that, Chris?
No.
Listen, that was a thing I was shitting my pants on the couch. I watched like the pilot of it and I was like, spraying fuck chunks. Yeah, dude, here, I'm going to spray all over this couch.
Yes.
And then everything after that pilot episode got increasingly preachy to the point where it like episode 5 should have just was Aaron Sorkin standing on the monologue spot for this show just talking. Just giving his opinion about stuff.
Eventually, his show is like ropes in the Iraq War, like there's a hostage thing.
Oh my
God. Just a big no.
Save it for the newsroom.
Yes, please.
Tom Lennon shows up and hijacks this movie. He is an Australian TV personality who has a Monster Hunter show. And I don't know what this is exactly referencing. I guess it's like referencing a bunch of stuff
television
together.
Television shows.
Just
reality TV. I
mean, you'd call them documentaries.
Those like ghost hunter shows
dregs of discovery.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Exactly.
And like that, a little bit of Bear Grylls too, I think, kind of a little
most
bit.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So like, and he's like a tough little Australian guy and... Yeah, he's like, oh, I'll find your Sasquatch for you, your Squatch. I think that's the guy he's calling a Squatch.
He keeps calling it Squatch, dude.
Yeah.
The Squatch.
And literally at this point, Michael Shannon, who is the protagonist of this movie, who is pumping money to change his career to be a comedic fun actor, is like, yeah, but Tom Lennon's just so damn good. And did you watch Tom today? Did you watch?
In this scene, Maynard's just going to be watching Tom.
just taking in the craft.
I kind of can't imagine Michael Shannon laughing now that I'm thinking about it.
No, and even when he's supposed to kind of doing, he's supposed to be kind of doing it in this movie, he's like, hip, 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 hip.
Yeah, he's more amused than anything else. I don't think I've ever seen him like cackle.
And amused in the way that a serial killer looks at its next victim like, someday I'm going to fucking cut your head off and fuck your eyeball.
Hip.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. See, it fits.
There's no soul inside of that thing.
Was she a great big fat person?
Yeah, dude, heaven forbid if they ever remade Silence, Michael Shannon as Buffalo Bill.
Oh, absolutely. So... Yeah, it's Tom Lennon vamping for a very long time. He starts singing a song about a Sasquatch.
Oh my God.
Which gave me a real legit laugh when he starts, right before he starts singing that song, because he says this one's for Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, this one's dedicated to Nelson Mandela. It was my only legitimate laugh of the two times I've seen this movie.
I had one real legitimate laugh.
Oh, really?
Got me going.
I mean, he sings this song, dude, and it's like you would have to be a fucking millionaire that does not care about money to sing this song in this scene, in this movie, on camera.
It's a 12-year-old trying to write a mountain goat song. That's what this sounds like.
But it's...
No, I mean, he's just, like, poorly playing guitar. I mean, it's supposed to be terrible, but it's one of those, like... And this, it gets me really uncomfortable with movies like this. You're watching shit. Yeah. Like, I watch movies like this, and I feel embarrassed for the people that made it while I'm watching it, and it just makes my skin crawl.
Sure.
And in this scene where he's having to play guitar and sing this song, and then you've got, like, Christina Hendricks and fucking Michael Shannon sitting there, like, swaying with the music because they're fucking... Well, at least Christina Hendricks' character is, like, into it.
I mean, like, I guess her character... Aside from being a furry, she wants excitement. Like she wants something new in life.
Move out of fucking Pottersville, lady. How about that?
Well, totally, that's why this guy is so exciting, because he's an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's from the other side of the world.
Exactly. And I gotta say, I do find it depressing that she hasn't been able to get more, because she's fantastic.
She's awesome.
Great in Madman. She was in Drive.
She's great in Drive for the
2 seconds her head blown
that
off.
That Ryan Gosling directed movie that
awful. Lost River.
I liked it, I think.
I didn't see
it. I still haven't seen it, but I wanted to check it out.
I liked it.
My wife pointed this out, too. You know this movie totally feels like you're watching because of the brain damage you get from experiencing it? It's like a spoof movie.
Yeah.
It totally has the tone of a fucking spoof movie.
You're right. They should have just done it. Just go for it.
I mean, it the kind of the way it's put together, it's like a spoof movie, but that no one had any idea what was being spoofed at the time.
It's a spoof movie. It has way too good a cast. Like you can't.
Yeah, spoof movies need losers.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and
no,
by the way, we'll do your spoof movie, by the way. We will definitely, us losers, exactly, will do your spoof
movie. Oh, yeah, I'll do a spoof movie in 2 seconds. But you know what? I was never on Mad Men. I never worked with Guillermo del Toro. Multiple people in this movie have. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know what? It's not a spoof movie unless you have someone portraying Juno. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Remember that?
Was that in a spoof movie?
Yeah, someone was playing. I forget which one it was, but it was on the telly not long ago. I was flipping through,
like,
and it was
epic
on.
Or disaster, probably.
Yeah,
those movies are so bad because I feel like they literally put like a sign that's like, "I'm the guy from Juno." Like, it's like literally, it has no respect for you as an audience.
Here is my question, by the way. Speaking of spoof movies, has that wave crested? Like, are we in the clear with spoof movies?
In the clear,
I
we have.
Think
well, can I come
there.
Up for air?
The 50 Shades one crashed and burned, I think.
Oh, right.
That was the last one I remember. Yes.
And that's...
The Wayans kind of just do their own thing, though. But and like, the Wayans will always make those movies, and some of them will make money, some of them
isn't
won't.
Isn't that movie... Because it's Marlon Wayans doing those? Isn't that Meet the Blacks? Isn't that a spoof movie or no?
That's supposed to be like a Purge parody.
Yeah. It is, right? Okay. So they're still like actually kind of around. I mean, that Meet the Blacks was like last year, man.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or maybe 2 years ago?
Well, I think the 50 Shades one was like literally 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't do well. How many of them did well?
I mean, a lot of them did at least enough business to keep doing it. This one, I don't know.
But, all right, whatever the most recent spoof movie is, what is the head count for former Mad TV cast members?
Oh, it's a lot.
It's always
That's where they all got flushed to, right?
It's the same. I mean, it's like...
Except for, like, Melissa McCarthy. She's an Academy Award-nominated actor.
And Jordan Peele, most likely.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in that.
Him and Keanu Peele were on that show.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just doing a bunch of bad Australian jokes. There's even like, dust this one off. He's like, somebody get me a Foster's. And everyone's like, Foster's? What's a Foster's? He's like, it's Australian for beer.
Oh,
and
dude,
I'm like,
do not.
I mean, and that's, man, is that, let me ask you this, is that in the screenplay or is that a vamp?
I would like to think it's in the screenplay. I mean,
I hope it is. They made him say that.
Is for like it's not for anyone, but I guess it's trying to be for dumb babies.
Yeah, yes. A little bit.
So you gotta
even
get
stupid babies.
You get the dumb baby stuff. You know, the dumb babies look at Tom Lennon in this movie. They laugh. They're amused by his antics.
Here's the thing, though. This is the thing, and I think we need to sort of put this in perspective with this Foster's joke.
Uh-huh.
There are tons of people that will still laugh at that joke.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. There's because people that like, laugh at podcasts.
It's that thing I heard in a commercial no less than 15 years ago.
Hip, hip, hip.
Could have used a Bud Dry reference, but I'll take a Foster's.
Dude, I would not be surprised if this movie had a fucking cameo appearance by the Budweiser frogs.
Ooh, that they couldn't get them.
They couldn't bring him out of retirement.
John, could you get Ron? Yeah, the Budweiser frogs passed.
I guess we're gonna have to go to Tom Lennon.
IMDb trivia: Thomas Lennon replaced the Budweiser frogs. It was just three frogs stacked in a trench coat playing an Australian man.
Yeah, now Tom, could you say "waz up" a few times?
Oh God, those guys!
Could you just do that?
That's a joke in, I believe it's the first Scary Movie.
Yeah,
they're doing "waz up" and the fucking ghost faces on the phone doing it.
I always found those movies unwatchable.
That's like 15 to 17 years ago, something like that. Yeah. That first Scary Movie came out.
It's a dark timeline. It's a
spoof movies represent the darkest timeline. Yes. I feel
they always have.
So this
they
is when
they
have.
You know what? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. I will defend the spoof movie to a degree.
Yes, I agree.
Because Airplane,
yeah, Airplane is great.
Is solid, and that's a spoof of all those airport movies.
Right,
yeah.
Young Frankenstein is a spoof. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of those earlier Mel Brooks stuff is good.
Oh, yeah, they all don't Mel Brooks is a spoof.
Yeah,
well, yeah, and but they don't go micro like the new, like yeah, yeah. The, where the actual that, narrative yeah. is being it. That's the, more of a style.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 90s is what, you know, ever since then, the spoof movies have been.
Loaded Weapon 1.
National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon's kind of a fun movie.
That's
yeah.
true. That was early though, like 91. Wasn't it?
I haven't
it was
watched
early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
Loaded Weapon 1?
Yeah, I think it was like 93. Yeah.
I haven't watched that first Scary Movie in a while. It'd actually be kind of interesting to check it out now because I remember standing by, like, I liked that first one.
Oh, really?
And then everything else was trash.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone back.
Wasn't there like.
Don't.
Wasn't there like a cum faucet in that?
There was.
I never cared for it.
Ian McShane comes back at this point.
Oh, right.
And this is where you get your exact and obvious Jaws reference.
He does the finger scratch along the chalkboard. I thought my wife was going to throw her shoe through the TV. Like, I think she uttered, oh, fuck you at this point.
It's the point that gets you really pissed off at this movie, right? Because I'm like, I do wish I was watching Jaws.
Exactly. And this is, like, almost verbatim Robert Shaw's speech. Yeah. Like, you know, I'll kill it, but it's going to cost you. Like, yeah. all of that is in here. Well, and nobody's laughing.
And at some point, Michael Shannon decides to keep, and it's very vague, but he keeps doing, like, the Bigfoot thing. He keeps coming back out to do it. For some reason, I guess, to like, he explains it
sexual
later in the movie.
Sexual awakening. Oh, he I needs see. To find himself. Yeah. That's the only thing that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's you not definitely. Like he, what's that?
I mean, other than that, the only other way you could kind of read it is that he's trying to keep up business.
Yeah.
But well, you never. But at the end of the day, you find out that he doesn't really give a shit. So the only thing that makes sense is the sexual.
Sexual
shit.
Obsession. Yes. I think so. And also, I mean, here's why, too. You actually, I think. Cabin, this may strengthen your point. There's a scene where he's like gussying up the suit. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Like, he's working on repainting the eyes because there's some wear and tear on this costume.
Sure, man.
He's getting into it. Oh, he's getting so into
well,
playing
he's
Sasquatch.
Liberated, man. That's liberation right
there. The
only
time I can shoot is when I'm dressed up like a Sasquatch.
Me too, man. So he winds up... Ian McShane, Ron Perlman, and Tom Lennon form a posse that they're going to stay in the woods
weird.
And catch the Sasquatch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, isn't it weird? It's three guys, including the chief of police, and a fucking expert in monsters are going to go out and fucking kill this monster. Isn't that...
This is when
Can't you not stand it?
this is my one legitimate laugh. It's they're all drinking moonshine, sitting around talking about... You know, what Bigfoot might actually be. And then I think Tom Lennon has this theory that, like, he was an alien that was sent to Earth as a punishment, as a prison.
Because he's a criminal.
He's a criminal. And, like, that's what they did to him. And then, like, Ron Perlman just goes, what? So Earth is a prison for Bigfoot? that got me going. It just,
you know. That is a good scene. I do enjoy that line of dialogue.
Who in here believes in Bigfoot?
Okay. Okay.
That's a big no, right?
How many listeners said something? you know what? I think it's possible.
Really?
Because you have the show. You have to keep up appearances.
I don't have anything.
What, no. The T.J. Hooker show? They're not talking about
Bigfoot. Blame It On Spider-Man.
At one time, yes, he played a character that cared about that stuff on another show. But I feel like, here's the thing.
He never leaves you.
Maybe there's a different leaves you. Yeah.
No, but like there could, I mean, maybe
some
those
sort
sightings,
of animal or something, you know what I mean, is like a thing. But the idea that it's like, it's a singular thing that's like, thousands of years old.
No one believes that.
That's a thing.
No,
man.
It's like the big feet, man. They're like a race of people. They're like Neanderthals.
You're right, Kevin. It does never leave you.
Living out in the wilderness. I think a lot of the Bigfoot stuff, Chris Cabin, was misidentified wild men. Now, I find the idea, personally, I find it extremely appealing to abandon all civilized life and to go live in the the woods forever, which I might do.
Okay.
And if I ever leave We Hate Movies, that's what happens.
That's the reason. Okay. So these wild men?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, hermits.
Is that just another word for hairy hobo? Because yeah, that's what it was. Whatever Sasquatch you ever saw, it was a hairy fucking
hobo.
You got
a Bigfoot beard right now, man. I put you in the woods. Yes. Someone will say they saw something.
Oh, they That's saw all something, saying. All right.
Anybody ever see that grainy footage of Bigfoot where he's got like a big butt and he's just kind of like, it's kind of sashaying across the
costume?
Yeah.
Is this one of your documentaries?
I did see that in the documentary, actually, as a matter of fact. There's quite a few good documentaries about the Bigfoot.
I bet they're good.
Man, we are in the loosest sense of the word using documentary. Also, good Bobcat Goldthwait movie. He did that Bigfoot movie.
What was that called?
The name of which is escaping me right God. Now.
Oh my God. Willow Creek?
Yes, Willow Creek. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
There's that movie Letters from the Big Man, which is really bad. It's a movie about like big.
Wait, is that Bigfoot writing letters?
I think it is Bigfoot. It is. Right?
Yeah, it's Bigfoot. Dear Sarah, I can't believe you fucking broke up with me. I took you out for hot dogs and skating at the roller rink. This is bullshit.
P.S. Signed, recycling is fake.
Signed. But it's like this weird Bigfoot movie, and there's like you barely see Bigfoot, and like this woman knows about Bigfoot, and some guy asks her, he's like, look, okay, hey, Sarah, you know about Bigfoot, right? She's like, yeah, I know about Bigfoot. He's like, all right, we all know that they're interdimensional aliens, right? And like she's like, yes. And then like he's like, but where do they go? And like she's or like, why do they because the idea is like they would like go into another dimension after like when that's where they disappeared to.
I read in Fate magazine back when I subscribed that they could like teleport.
Oh, nice.
That's why you never really corner a Bigfoot.
Fuck, dude. What if Big Feet mm-hmm. are just a bunch of fucking Chewbaccas walking around?
That's what I would like to believe.
Yeah, dude. Like you tackle one and it's just a nerd in a Chewbacca costume.
I was gonna say, you got quite a fantasy land.
No, it might be an actual Chewbacca.
No, it's Wookiees.
From the planet Kushka.
It could be the whole Mayhew family, though. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of like really tall Brits that are incredibly nice.
Did he die?
No, he's alive.
He's playing Chewbacca in this movie.
No, he's not.
Peter Mayhew?
Yeah, he's not playing him anymore, is he?
No,
yeah.
I think he
can't. No. He only sits down. Is that the thing?
No, yeah. There's another guy, a younger man, doing some of Chewbacca's scenes.
I thought it was the young guy is in the Solo movie.
Oh, right.
And Jedi, it is Mayhew.
That's what I think it is. Swan song.
You better keep Mayhew canon. He's in this saga, dude. Keep him saga.
Yeah, you've got
saga centric.
You got to at least finish the Abrams movie.
Because that makes sense. So, because if it's a young Han Solo, it's a younger, more nimble Chewbacca.
And also, man, I better have in that fucking R2-D2 costume. There better be Kenny Baker skeleton.
Yes,
that's why it wasn't moving for most of Force Awakens.
Yeah, that was in the insurance rider.
So. They wind up, they're waiting, and Michael Shannon, for some reason, is like, well, if they're looking for Bigfoot, I better show up.
I'm going to give them Bigfoot.
This is so stupid. Like, when the monster hunters come is when you stop impersonating Bigfoot, because then it brings the element of mystery and the search and the hunt. So he's like, Michael Shannon's like, they're making this show about Bigfoot. I better give them Bigfoot. Wait till they get a load of me. But... dude, they'll make 12 shows if you don't show up.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, this is the fucking series finale, man.
Yeah. Well,
maybe you find this monster.
But no, this is like a De Palma movie. The sexual obsession. He has to do it.
You pull a Tony Clifton. You get like, I don't know. So get somebody.
Yes,
like,
dude.
Get like some 6'5" dude. Like, I don't know.
Or Judy Greer on stilts.
Judy Greer on stilts. She gets the thing and he's like, what do you mean? I'm right here. Exactly. Oh, no. It's the Sasquatch.
Honestly, you could get Jerry Lawler to play the mayor.
I didn't come to the Playboy Mansion as the Sasquatch.
God,
I'm right here.
Man, Jim and Andy, I fucking love
that. Is that a documentary?
Of course
documentary purist?
Yes. Of course it is.
Because it doesn't... it's not Fantastical Beasts.
Steve, let me tell you this. Anytime you think you're watching a documentary and they use a fake version of the X-Files theme song...
instantly not a documentary, friend.
All right, fair enough.
Do they use that a lot in your sex films?
All right, what if you see a mouse cursor move and open up a file in the middle of a documentary? Is that not a documentary?
No, 100% a documentary, man. That's hard-hitting fucking filmmaking journalism.
If it's less than an hour and exclusively about people who like fucking brick buildings, I'm going to say no. I'm going to just say no on this one.
I Married the Eiffel Tower is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's great. Oh, it's great. Yes. Oh, man.
Is it right above X2? Or
X2, I Married the Eiffel Tower, The Godfather.
It's all coming to a head. He meets them in the woods. They shoot him with a tranquilizer gun for no reason.
This is after another fucking, you want to talk about like jokes that you expect constantly. So when they're loading the truck, they're loading a bunch of like firearms into the back of this flatbed truck and whatnot. And Tom Lennon's like, oh, we're bringing guns. Mm. And, you know, they're like, don't worry, they're tranquilizer darts. So, of course, someone who's in this party is going to get hit with a dart, which is what happens to Ron Perlman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because Tom Lennon freaks out, screams, and shoots.
This also. A fucking yoga injury joke.
Oh man. Yeah.
He's like, I can't lift this heavy box because I got a yoga injury.
And he does that fucking shitty thing they do whenever, like, you know the joke is horrible.
Uh-huh.
So you pretend like the character knows the joke is horrible.
Oh, yes. Right.
Where he's like, yoga injury. Yoga injury.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke. Will you just let me go?
He's stealing my bit.
Then just don't make the joke. But no, actually, I cut ahead because at first we finally pay off the furry thing at the end of the film.
Oh, right.
The furry convention.
Yes, it's a furry convention in the woods that they happen upon because they're waiting for Bigfoot.
Now, this could have been the fucking cornfield rave in Freddy vs. Jason, by the way.
Oh, my God.
You stumble upon all these furries just dancing. Ian McShane whips out this gun. Dude, it's fucking dead
town. I gotta tell you, man, a horror movie set in a furry community, that's pretty cool.
That's a movie.
Who's in the mask? And you know what I mean? People getting murdered.
Everybody is a suspect.
Copyright WHM Entertainment, LLC. Mm-hmm.
Furry Massacre? We'll
Furry Massacre. You know what?
Tentative title.
Tentative title, but I'd be fine with it. That's hard to put on a poster, though.
There's also we were going to do Furry Vengeance, but it turns out that's
that's a Brendan Fraser movie.
Correct.
It sure is.
That was like, why would you make a movie called Furry Vengeance in like 2011? Everyone's like, wait, is that movie about? Oh, no, it's not. Oh, then I'm definitely not.
What was that about? Chris Cabin?
He can talk to animals or some shit.
I saw that movie when I had salmonella poisoning.
Really?
Did it make it better?
No, it did not.
So what was it about?
It's like he could talk to animals, and like there's like a land developer thing. They're gonna ruin the woods and blah blah blah.
So it's basically just the end of Ace Ventura 2.
Yes,
kind of.
Sounds like a good documentary.
God damn it! Everyone's having a real laugh. So he happens upon this furry convention. Like, Tom Lennon's, like, into it at this point.
Yeah,
but also, he's just I'll have sex with Christina Hendricks. You know what I mean?
That was my big question about this, because she takes her rabbit helmet off, mm-hmm. and it's Christina Hendricks.
Sure.
And then, so he's like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely come back. Like, email me when your next meeting's going to happen.
Yeah.
Somewhere around here, like, when the investigation is going to start, is when he lets slip to his assistant.
Yeah.
Not let slip, because she's in on it, too. Let's slip to the movie that he's just a dude from California or something like that.
Yeah, and, like, he's like, trying to make it big, and, like, he hates his show, and, like, this will be the thing that launches him to the big time.
Right, which, capturing Bigfoot, and then, I guess, parading him around the world like King Kong.
Oh, we all know how well that works. Out. That's when I made that fucking gag when I was watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and they had a commercial for King Kong on Broadway, uh-huh. and I just went, well, we all know how that worked out.
Oh, that must have killed.
It kind of did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twas beauty killed the beast.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just what a stupid thing to put on Broadway. Sorry.
Is it actually? I didn't know that was happening.
King Kong is coming next year, man. This time next year, King Kong will be on Broadway. But in the meantime, go see SpongeBob SquarePants the musical because we're all fucking bankrupt.
Creatively, morally, financially.
I can't promise I won't go see King Kong on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about a big ape now. Now you got a big ape in my head?
Dude, sounds I thought cool. you were going to say SpongeBob, though.
Oh,
dude.
Fuck.
There's
no.
not enough weed in the world.
It's not. All right, so it's King Kong on Broadway. That's exciting. It's not Julie Taymor, and the music isn't by The Edge, is
oh,
it?
Right.
No.
That ruins
so.
Exciting sounding musicals.
No, no, yeah. That's the Godzilla musical that's coming in 2019.
Well, no, I think he's talking about Spider-Man Turn the Dark Off.
Turn off the dark.
Turn off
I think
Fish.
The new Steve title for Eric. That Godzilla, Saw. Though, is like Godzilla Roar in the Night.
Yes. No, really? Isn't King of the Monsters?
I'm fucking lying, oh, okay. dude. There's okay. no Godzilla musical.
Yet.
But if there is, I hope he's 69's King Kong.
So
off Broadway.
Oh yeah, dude, you gotta bust that nut off Broadway.
He at this point in McShane like draws this Nazi gun on the furries. Like,
yeah,
it's a Luger. You don't have to be a National Socialist. It helps.
It does it's, help.
It helps, but
You don't have to be crazy to work here, but it helps.
Man, that's a coffee mug I always want to smash.
Yeah, they wind up. He freaks out all the furries. They run away. That's kind of the thing. Like Tom Lennon's like,
"I'm gonna blow your fucking heads off, you weirdos."
Oh, at this point, Ron Perlman comes out as a furry.
Right, he's outed because he doesn't want his friends assassinated by this booze hound.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I don't know. I gotta stop this furry massacre.
You start killing all these guys, you're gonna have to kill me too, Ian McShane. I'm one of them.
He shoots him 3 times in the face. He keeps moving.
Dude, his oh, face man. Is... Dude, that face would eat bullets.
I'm sorry. His face is enormous these days.
Yeah, it's like there's a hive of bees living in there.
The show Sons of Anarchy took place on his face. His face well, is also known as Charming California.
All right, Chaz, you got to drive across my face to pick up some drugs on the other side of my face.
Oh well, because he had a puffy face like back in like in the Name of the Rose era,
yeah. yeah.
And maybe so Charlie Hunnam must have been birthed from his face.
Okay,
oh like yeah,
much like How to Get Ahead in Advertising or something to that effect.
There is a cache of drug money in the caverns, also known as the nostrils. You're gonna have to go through the wilderness of the mustache.
You got to look out for the Mexicans that also live on my face. I'm racist against the Mexicans that live on my face.
That's a show that I always thought would have made a better video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I've never seen it, but no. Just things like that. I'm like, well, they're just kind of doing missions.
I gave it an episode.
Yeah. I remember I folded laundry to it once, and I was like, oh, well, look at this mother. And then I never watched it again.
But yeah, so the furries run off. Ron Perlman at this point does get shot with a trank gun. Then Michael Shannon gets shot with a trank gun.
Right.
And they're like, oh no. And like, here's the thing. The mask looks terrible. Like,
terrible.
If you see it from 60 yards away, you're like, that's a dude in a suit.
That's a suit.
They load him onto a truck. I think Ian McShane knows the deal.
He knows the score at this point. He's like, I can finally go home and watch pornography again and get drunk because this stupid mission is over with.
But Tom Lennon's a baby but doesn't get it,
I guess. Yeah, because isn't the insinuation is that he's essentially like the angel character? Because at the end, he does like a big wink to Shannon.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Ian McShane.
Oh.
Like, he's supposed to be like a dirty, like the dirty,
dirty
angel.
Clarence.
Yeah.
Dirty Clarence.
Essentially.
Man.
He's supposed to be like alcoholic. Yeah. Like, if the town has fallen on hard times, alcoholic Clarence now would appear.
Did you hear 3 bells or 6?
Because one means one thing and one means another.
Do you feel lucky?
Dirty Clarence. Yeah. It's sort of something.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
I wasn't following.
Yeah. I was thinking more like Dirty Grandpa, like this angel's jerking off.
Oh, angels are totally jerking off. Right? Like in this room right now, there's 100 angels jerking off.
Hold on a second. I thought you studied Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
Angels do not have genitalia, right?
That's Kevin Smith nonsense. I mean, I don't think we're really talking.
You can also always rub a bump.
Yeah.
That's true.
Eric,
that's true. No, but isn't it more than that? Isn't it with the Wait, no, I'm thinking of giants, maybe. There's giants in the Bible.
There are.
There certainly are.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
All sorts of shit in that
Remember
storybook, dude.
When Michael Flynn got indicted and then like James Comey tweeted that quote from Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
Fee, fi, fo, hum. yeah, so he's captured. By the way, multiple times throughout this movie, because we're going to get it at the end kind of here,
right.
After Shannon is outed as being the Bigfoot monster. But one thing he talks about constantly in this film is how like, Well, you know, the thing about the Sasquatch Monster is I think people in Pottersville are just looking for something to believe in.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, what are you even talking about?
What, that's not something to believe in.
No. Something to believe in is bring some fucking jobs to this town.
Yes.
How about
yes,
that?
Yes.
That'd something nice, to believe in.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so... And Judy Greer figures it out before then.
Oh, like, she stumbles across the shitty mask.
And it looks like a suicide note that he writes. I don't know what... what does he write? It's like, I was the Sasquatch the whole time. If you're reading this, I'm dead in a Sasquatch costume.
I threw myself off of Potter's Field Falls. You'll never see that Sasquatch monster again. Don't worry. Also, I'm dead.
Please, closed casket, definitely in the costume.
It would be a better ending.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, yeah. The secret Pottersville mass suicide ending. Yeah.
Please burn the store to the ground.
Yeah, that was my final wish. Burn my
store.
Oh,
man, around. Maybe he's got like a timer on that shit.
Oh, dude, yeah. Actually, maybe it's not hooked to a timer. That store is ready to blow.
Yeah, dude.
Just in case. Like a
tripwire,
like how Wilford Brimley's ready to light up that compound in Hard Target.
Oh, nice! That's
like
true.
He just Michael Shannon just has that at the ready,
mm-hmm.
just in case he needs to fucking disappear.
I thought it would be something more like the beginning of Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, we're playing Hot Time somewhere in the city.
Hot Time somewhere in the city.
And the fucking Bonwit Teller building blows up.
Yes. Bigfoot's made to wear this sign.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And he has to walk around Pottersville.
He's walking around Pottersville wearing the sign. And then for the TV edit, it says, I hate everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mr. Nature Boy here hates everyone.
Yep. Yeah. Is not all even... brothers know how to use guns, you racist melon farmer.
Look at that. The lines even work because you would call Bigfoot Nature Boy.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
At this point, he gets outed in front of the whole town. Tom Lennon is furious and says that he is now suing the entire town for millions and millions of dollars.
$150 million, to be precise.
What a spurious lawsuit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did we get a zoom in with the pinky to the thing?
Oh, God. But the town, all these idiot rubes, are like mad at Michael Shannon now, right? Because they're getting sued. But it's like, take one look at this. He says he's going to sue this town for emotional damages for $150 million because this moron was told the Sasquatch monster was here and he embarrassed himself. And all these people are like, oh my God, we're all ruined right now. Fuck you, Michael Shannon. Mm-hmm.
Countersuit, dude. Countersuit.
What would that be?
I'm just, you know, you just yell countersuit, then you get money.
Okay. Well, apparently they've been spending like the money for their food for the holidays and rent on fucking sweaters with a Bigfoot on it.
And that's the weird thing too, is like, oh no, it's ruining Christmas. I'm like, first of all, this is barely a Christmas movie. Like, we're not really talking about the season or any of that
spirit.
Shit.
There's no spirit of Christmas talk.
No. But then every time something like that does come up, like when he says, "Land is looking for something to believe in," like that's shit. You're like, oh yeah. Yeah, this is supposed to be a Christmas movie. What a dumb thing.
Tree lighting scene at some point, but that's kind of it.
And it's inconsequential. But yeah, at this point, somebody's like, oh, now Christmas is ruined. It's like, the fuck are you talking about Christmas? Christmas.
I thought this was like fucking late February.
And then he goes on the local news to tell his side of the story.
Oh, and this is more something to believe in shit.
Well, at first, Judy Greer gets everybody in a room. She's like, you all feel bad for, you all hate Michael Shannon. Well, he, at some point or another, everyone in this town is like robbed his store blind. And they're like, yeah, I guess you're right.
One guy's like, I fucking put a whole Thanksgiving grocery list on that tab.
And then like, she's like, and he always wrote it down, didn't he? And she's like, well, look at the book. And he never wrote it down.
Oh man, that's the magic of Christmas.
That's great. Not a small business owner not having a financial record. That's a great thing. Oh, that's fantastic.
I think it's just because like he's possibly secretly dealing, because this is upstate New York. He's dealing fucking opioids out of that.
Oh
fucking,
right,
he's got a fent factory in his garage.
He definitely does, dude.
I hook you up with some good fent.
Hey, man, you come in here, you can buy some jelly beans and some milk and some veggies. Also, I got a couple of death sticks to sell you. That's good smoking.
They come in patches now. Just stick them on your arm. Like a tattoo.
You can go right to the Pottersville High School dance with that patch on. Nobody knows, and you'll have a great time.
Dancing on air.
Doesn't matter that you're 35. You can get it. Just say you're a chaperone.
And yeah, she's like, you know, hey, you merch motherfuckers, mm-hmm. how much money did you make selling Bigfoot swag out of his store? You didn't give him a red cent, you fucking crooks. Like, real Judy Greer takes this town to task in the best way possible.
It's kind of weird. She's got the same haircut as Christina Hendricks in this movie. It's a little distracting.
You were confusing the two of them?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh,
almost.
It's Vertigo again. Oh. Yeah, that's the hair.
Oh, your lovely hair.
Harvey likes your hair.
So, yeah, Shannon goes on the local TV and is like, well, I just want everyone to have a nice Christmas, believe in the Sasquatch. By the way, do you know he's an interdimensional alien?
I mean, there's reports. I mean, I don't know if they're in the library or anything. They should be, but...
See, Earth is a prison. It's a prison planet, if you will.
She says, Judy Greer has some line to these people, like, you know, that Maynard has given everything to this town.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You open a, you run the general store that sometimes people go
into.
See,
the thing is, like, if you're born in a town and you live there your whole life and never accomplish anything, you could say shit like that because you're so bitter.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's all you got. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
After the local news wraps up, all these people come in and they're like, well, here's like 30. Like, everyone like gives them like $30.
Total tops, dude. I was looking at the prop placement of these bills. People are throwing like singles at them. And it's like, oh, here's that time I came in for a can of soup, $1. And they're like writing their name in this ledger or whatever. Yes. And he just keeps being like, oh, thanks so much.
Shine my book and live deliciously.
Just put the $1 in my underwear.
Okay, you gave me $1 for that package of bologna. I'm not going to kill your family now. You're clear. All right, next. Who else wants to repent?
Repent! And then, like, the camera woman's like, oh, my God, this is really good stuff. Dude, it's like $30. Good stuff.
There is a fucking amazingly stupid line that happens right here because, like, all the town comes in to pay their tabs and whatnot, and you cut to this newswoman, and she's on the phone, and she's like, we got to get back on the air. A story's breaking down here. No. The producer of this news show is hanging up the phone.
Deadbeats payback loan. News at 11.
Well, again, this is the car. This would break through the car stalled on the highway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Low stakes news. So it's like, oh, wow. Then everyone goes, yay, for some reason. And then there's like this montage. And again, like, Tom Lennon eats up an hour of this movie.
So much of this movie.
And he goes away. And then, like, his comeuppance happens in a montage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wherein, like, you're seeing, like, the town rebuild itself. They're like, oh, we're going to open a Bigfoot museum. And, oh, by the way, that Tom Lennon, he was revealed to be a fake. And he was thrown off the network. And, like, he gets literally thrown out of a building that says the word network on it. Did anyone see that?
Yeah. Hip.
Oh, he's watching dailies in the editing. That's funny. I mean, a guy cracks me up.
It could be any network because it just says network.
It's amazing.
Dude, this fucking Bigfoot Museum, man. You are seeing. First of all, he at the giving back money ceremony that we have, he also rightfully divorces Christina Hendricks.
Oh, that's right.
He's like, you want to go have fun, and I just want to stand behind this counter my whole life fantasizing about murdering everyone here. So you go off and do that, and we'll be divorced. And then he turns to Judy Greer immediately, and he's like, hey, about that rain check for some of that famous Jiffy Pop you make. let's do it
so we can get fucking.
Yeah, but she's like been ready this whole movie.
Oh, yeah. Ready the whole movie.
This is also like, this is a clear sign. Hit on your employees.
Oh, all the time.
Go in for the kill.
All the time.
Especially if you're the only two there.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Judy Greer take out a loan from the bank to open the Sasquatch Museum, dude.
And were you, Steve, were you trying to say who would go to a Sasquatch Museum?
Yeah.
I would.
Well, no, here's the thing. Who would go to a Sasquatch Museum in... Like,
I went to a wax museum about the history of Cannery Row.
But no, this is the thing. In the sight of a now famous... In the sight of a now famous hoax. Like,
right.
If it's if it was like, they said that this, wherever that like big butt Sasquatch was, if that has a museum,
right.
Like that's like, oh, no one knows.
Well, I think that's Willow Creek.
The Cardiff Giant.
Yeah.
That's a famous hoax where they tried to pretend that there was like a giant buried in, I think it might have been upstate New York.
It is upstate New York.
I think there might even be a museum or something like that.
There is some little thing.
There's always a rinky-dink museum. I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But is that shit? First of all, this Sasquatch Museum is massive. Second, we never see inside it. But third, like, is it enough that this shit is going to save the town?
No, that's
the thing. Is what they put money into to open this is the old mill. Like, it's the actual Pottersville mill.
God damn it. I forgot at the start of the movie. It's like, well, the old mill
is
closed.
It's an actual old mill.
Yeah, 2017 old mill, man.
And so that probably employed, I don't know, 30 people, maybe, at tops.
Actually, wait, Cabin, you just solved this country's crisis, man.
Open the mills.
This is what we do with all those fucking coal miners.
Uh-huh.
We close their coal mines and we make them open Bigfoot museums. Oh.
Museums to fantastical creatures.
Yes, of course. Exactly. And think about West Virginia. You got the Mothman right there.
He's right there.
Right there.
Right there.
Where that bridge collapsed.
Yeah.
So you're
that movie that one time.
So the place that once employed a couple people probably now at tops employs three.
Yeah.
So bringing it all back.
Still pretty good.
America sounds pretty great to me, Chris.
Does it? Does it really?
Jobs.
So I think honestly the most terrifying part of this movie happens in the very last shot because Judy Greer and Michael Shannon have to kiss on camera,
uh-huh.
And it has to be, like, sweet.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I can't remember a time when I've seen Michael Shannon kiss somebody else, so I assumed something would come out of his mouth, bloom, and then attach to something in Judy Greer's mouth.
They kissed when they got those WrestleMania tickets.
Oh, did they?
They at least hugged. I think there might have been a kiss.
Well, I mean, this is like if the Frankenstein monster fucking finally got to make out with Bride of Frankenstein. You know what I mean?
Hey, Judy Greer, it sounds like when you get excited, you probably squawk. I can make you squawk.
Have you ever seen Avatar? I mate like that.
Do you ever dress as a bird?
And then it's dumb because they're making out and there's like a Sasquatch roar and they both look like, was that the Sasquatch?
And
end of movie.
Right after the kiss, of course, Ian McShane, for no fucking reason, is right behind them in his car just leering. Like,
that's where he winks. He's like, you got it, buddy. This was my whole plan to get you with
more moonshine for
you. Can I just say, I didn't know that was supposed to be a Sasquatch roar. When they look up to the side.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the roar of the crowd. Like the whole town is happy they got together.
I
was like, oh, they just didn't afford extras that day.
No. No, it's definitely like a. And they both look like, say.
So, what of an idea that was not entered into this movie ever before entered now?
Yeah.
It would have been better if they entered that earlier, that there's a real Sasquatch.
Right. That's the thing
you do, right?
And you could do like the duck soup scene in the woods with Michael Shannon.
Yes.
And the real
that's
Sasquatch.
A lot of fun.
Dude, and now this movie is called Pottersville : A Sasquatch Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes much more sense because the Sasquatch winds up saving Christmas somehow.
Mm.
I don't know how. Yeah. I mean, I didn't write Pottersville, but you know, somehow.
You know, Santa's sleigh breaks down and then he finds the Sasquatch and chains him to the sleigh and whips him, and he's able to deliver all the presents to the boys and girls.
That is totally the right call, though. Like, this movie needs to have a thing where, like, Judy Greer's like tensions run high, and she's like, whatever, Maynard, everybody knows that it's you.
Yeah.
And then as Michael Shannon is standing there, the Sasquatch monster, like, runs by.
It's kind of a Scooby-Doo gag, too.
It is. Oh, it very much is. Or also, like, a Harry and the Hendersons, perhaps.
You know? Actually, Michael Shannon would make a good Shaggy. A very somber, scary Shaggy, but a good Shaggy.
Hey, Scoob, we're going to have to put you down.
Hey, Scoob, you hear about all those Manson murders? We're going to investigate the ranch.
Oh, it was just that hippie guy the whole time.
The hippie guy from the start at the Beach Boys cover band.
The Beach Boys recorded a song that he wrote. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I forgot.
Helter Skelter. No, that's the Beatles.
So would anybody recommend Pottersville?
No. It's even like worse than in these. I watch a lot of these during the holiday season. The holiday season, which are those like shitty Lifetime and/or Hallmark Christmas movies.
God.
Those things, which are like paint dry, but it's a movie. Those are so much better than Pottersville.
How many times in those movies is a Christian saving Christmas?
Some are Christian, some are entirely...
Is that right?
Some are Christian, some are very much like, and it's Christmas for no reason. It's like, oh, yeah. this like, you know, advertising company's gonna go under. And it's Christmas for no reason.
Well, you never want things to go under at Christmas, man.
Mm-hmm. but yeah, so yeah, that, it's worse than that. I say no. And it's kind of, it's an oddity. It's a real the fact that it's Shannon makes it an oddity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth seeing for that. The oddity factor is big on this sucker. I do not agree that this is worse than those Lifetime movies. Those Lifetime movies are impossible to watch. But it does, I will give it, the opening credits fonts, definitely ripped from a Lifetime movie.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Sure. A Mar Vista Entertainment kind of situation.
Mar Vista, is that real?
Oh, dude, they make so many of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
quite a lot.
Is it owned by a dude named Marv Ista?
Hey, this is Mar Vista. You got movies, I'll buy them.
Yeah, it's that. It's the Manson thing, but it's set it at Christmas, and I'll buy it.
I would recommend this just because it's so bizarre, and it's not good, obviously, but it's
well, yeah.
I mean, at the start of the show, we tell people to fucking stop and go watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I think it's a seeing is believing, even if you've heard us ramble on through this and you haven't watched it yet. It's just such... an annoying combination of like, we're making a Christmas movie, we're ripping off like It's a Wonderful Life, Golly Gee kind of shit.
Yeah.
But then also, like, we have the furry angle and the whatever else. So we're trying to make this like an offbeat black comedy type thing.
Yep.
And it's such a spectacular failure at every turn.
Yes.
That to me.
There's Mars and the Real Girl in here, too, right? Like, it's the town.
The town, like, sort of gets behind this whole thing.
There's, like, a lot of sex stuff in general.
Yeah,
like, talking about, like, how sap works on his libido.
To call back an old reference to this show, we might be fucking on Christmas.
We might be fucking on Christmas. And some of these furries were fucking on Christmas,
Absolutely.
Man. That's Pottersville from 2017, directed by Seth Henriksen. If you want more WHM, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at HeadGum. You know, rate and review the show wherever you get it, man. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're at WHM Podcast, of course.
Yeah, you get on to our Patreon. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, things are changing. We will be having real We Hate Movies episodes on the Patreon starting in January.
That's right.
You want to be part of that.
And so next week we are off, but as is the case at We Hate Movies, we always got something for you, man. So coming up next week, you are going to get our live show from the LA Podcast Festival, us talking Constantine. Yeah.
Not good, gang.
No, not good at all, but this was our appearance at the LA Podcast Festival this past year. What's
that? The show was good. We were great.
Set was good. Movie's bad.
Movie's horrible.
We had a good set. We had a good show.
Steve loves the movie, but...
yeah, some different opinions.
He's wrong all the time, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it goes X2... I Married the Eiffel Tower, The Godfather,
right.
Constantine,
yes.
Manchester
the document
by
about
the
furries,
sea.
The Christmas sweater from Lifetime,
yes, the Christmas, a Dear Santa,
Pottersville,
yes. A Catholic in Santa Claus's court.
Oh man, I'd watch that.
I sentence you to death.
And then we will be back in the new year, man, 2018, with the worst of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give a teaser about the first one of that.
We'll give it away. Give it away now.
Which one are we going to do first, though? I don't even remember.
Boss Baby first. Yeah, we're doing the Boss Baby.
Boss Baby. So they're Alec Baldwin voicing a baby.
Oh, yeah, and get ready to be unsettled.
I'm ready to be unsettled. I haven't
wild,
seen it yet.
It is a trip, man.
All right. Chris Gavin, put that on the DVD cover. It's a trip, man. So enjoy your holidays, happy new year, and we will see you in 2018 until the new year. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.